Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Matthew 24:37, 38, 27. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Yes, sir. For as in the days of Father Noah that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Father Noah entered into the ark. Nehemiah 13:27. Shall we hearken unto you to do all this great evil? To do all this great evil? To transgress against our God in marrying strange wives, if they're not just exactly like you with God, spiritual ministry and all that, and even domestic, they do not belong to you. God never planned it. Well, shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? You have transgressed and sinned against God by marrying some strange person, male or female. In Matthew 24:39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In Genesis 9:13-16, I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. See, that's good English, because God's first. Verse 19, and the bow shall be in the cloud. It's got to be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, God said, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh, not just humans, but all living creatures of flesh that is upon the earth. You got it?
Yes,
now, let's return to the times and ministry of Father Noah here today. Remember Father Noah, he was the only one left in the earth who was righteous in his generation during a terrible time of the earth's history. God the Father chose Father Noah to start the whole world over again after the flood for his seed to repopulate the whole world after the flood, his seed. And you get to a place here where God said, now go forth out of the ark and start the world all over again. Right. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, God warned the future generations not to marry strangers. Marry only like kind.
Amen.
Nehemiah 13:27, shall we then hearken unto you to do all the great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying? What's the great evil to transgress against God? Marrying strange wives. You can't get with a person that is not totally like you with God, spiritual ministry and all that, and even domestic, they do not belong to you. God never planned it. Do you see? The rebellion of the watcher angels, the rebellion of the watcher angels was greatly fueled by their lusting after human women, them lusting after strange flesh, them craving for something that was not anything of their like kind. So there was a time when men, they had daughters, they were fair to look upon, and the fallen angels came and took and seized them. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, offspring of giants. But after that, when the sons of God, the angels, sons of God in the Old Testament are angels. You don't hear of sons of God in the New Testament until Jesus came. How many understands that? So, fallen angels came in unto the daughters of men. They bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, giants. Jude 1:6-7, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, those that did. He hath reserved an everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of that great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but the cities about them the same way, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, or set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. So the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, those that did, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The Lord said, I will destroy them in a flood. Are you here?
Yes.
So you must not lust after, think after, get your feelings toward it, get your emotions tied up in it, chase after, pursue after anyone, anything that God has not assigned to your life. God will not assign anyone or anything that is not like kind spiritually into your life. God will not assign anyone or anything that is not like kind first spiritually, that includes ministering all into your life. He won't do it. Unauthorized pursuing of anything that is not God assigned, not like kind, will bring nothing but destruction to you in the end. You will drown in a flood of what you have rebelliously self-willed and brought on yourself, of what you have taken for yourself, of what you have created for yourself and have rebelliously self-willed taken for yourself. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, what happened to animals before the flood? You want to see?
Yes, sir.
What were they doing? I'm trying to get to show you the sequence of all these changes. Do you see these changes going on?
Yes, sir.
Do you see?
Yes, sir.
So again, what happened to animals before the flood? What were they doing? So God reestablishes the dominion of humanity over animals after the flood. Genesis 9:2, and the fear of you and the dread of you, talking about Father Noah, shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, everything that moveth upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hands they are delivered. And there's come a fear to you, the animals will, and the fear of you, the fear, the fearful thing, the dread, and then the dread, the afraid, terror, the dismayed, and the dread that will cause you so much that you'll prostrate, you'll break down, you'll, by confusion, you'll go down, you'll submit. You see, the animals. So that's the way God printed. But before the flood, the animal kingdom. So God reestablished this dominion in mankind toward the animals after the flood. Again, before the flood, the animal kingdom had lost its God-assigned fear and reverence of mankind.
Yes, sir.
Before the flood, the animal kingdom had lost its God-assigned fear and reverence for mankind. This is because after the fall of first man Adam, the line of Cain began to degrade more and more and more and more and more. So after a while, animals didn't even fear them because animals saw they weren't not right. So before the flood, the animal kingdom had lost its God-assigned fear, reverence of mankind. This is because after the fall of first man Adam, the line of Cain began to degrade more and more and more. Judaism tells us that as mankind became more sinful, Cain's line in particular, Judaism tells us, they knew God before us, that as mankind became more sinful, Cain's line in particular, that they lost the image of God in their person. You hear this? As man became more and more sinful, they lost the image of God in their person. So animals, look, they didn't see the image of God in them. Do you see that? So that they lost the image of God in their person. Again, Judaism tells us that mankind became so sinful, especially out of Cain's line, that they lost the image of God in their person. They began to look less and less and less like the image and likeness of God in which they were originally created. So they lost the image of God step by step by step. And instead, they began to take on the image and likeness of apes and donkeys. That's what it says. What Jewish history and all will say that. Therefore, the animals lost their fear and respect for mankind.
Yes, yes, sir.
They no longer saw any representation of the image of God.
Amen.
When you look today and see people who used to go to church, do you see any representation, image of God in them much at all?
Yes, sir.
Can you see God in hardly anybody today? Where is it? So They took on the likeness of animals, in the image of animals. Therefore, the animals lost their fear and respect for mankind. They no longer saw any representation of the image of God when they looked at sinful, warped man. This is when animals began to rise up and start attacking mankind, even devouring mankind. Plus, many animals were becoming hybridized, crisscross. What are they doing now to rats? Putting somebody's hand on it. You see what I'm saying? Days of Noah. Come on, somebody. Days of Father Noah. Plus, many animals were becoming hybridized, mixed as Nephilim creatures, experimentation over and over and over. So they were no longer normal how God had created them. God looked upon the earth, Genesis 6 and 12, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. What about this today? Well, hybridized transgender stuff. Cut this off, put this on and on and on and on and on. I'm a female, I'm a male. That's really, boy.
Yes, sir.
My God, plus these animals became hybridized, mixed with Nephilim creatures, experiments like they're doing that with even animals today. So they were no longer normal as how God made them. God looked upon the earth. Behold, the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth, humans and animals.
Yes,
now that Father Noah was the prototype of a righteous man, now that Father Noah, coming off the ark, he's the father.
Yes,
so that's one man left,
yes,
and his sons after him. Now that Father Noah was the prototype of righteous man, and a new population of the earth would supposedly follow his example. Now they have a righteous, perfect man to look at. So hopefully they'll follow his example. Things change. Now the animals would not rebel against man anymore. Because they're looking at the image of God in a man, a righteous man, Father Noah. The image of God in that righteous man. Now the animals would not rebel anymore against man anymore, because they would once more see God's image in a righteous man. So he started the world all over again, even the way the animals thought.
Yes,
sir. I mean, believe that's a lot of change.
Yes, sir.
God prohibits man from eating meat with blood in it. I'm just going down verse after verse after verse to show you this. All this fits in. You can't know the story. God prohibits man from eating meat with blood in it. Blood represents the life force of an animal. Blood represents the life force of an animal. Genesis 9 and 3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even the green herb that I have given unto you all things. I've given that for your food. But flesh with the life therein, which is the blood thereof, you shall not eat. Flesh with the life therein, but flesh. But, however, by limitation, the Hebrew here, by limitation, howbeit, nevertheless, flesh, the balsar, the flesh of a person or an animal, with the life therein, with the nephesh. The life is the nephesh, the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The nephesh of the balsar is in the dom, in the blood. So if you eat their blood, you're eating their soul. Do you hear?
Yes,
sir. So right here, but the flesh with the life thereof, with the blood thereof, the blood thereof, the dome, the blood, that which shed causes death, the blood shed, the drops of blood. And also in the blood is your soul. Your soul's in the blood. I preached this years and years and years ago. You've got one of three things in your soul. You're either innocent, you're either guilty, and you're thirsty. Three things. In everybody's soul, in their blood, the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. Life of the flesh, the soul of the person, the balsar, is in the dom, the blood. So your soul is in your blood.
Yes, sir.
And what blood brought you here? You came out of the blood of a male.
Right.
And if it's not good, you've got to get that changed.
Amen.
You hear?
Yes, sir.
So, but the life with the blood in it, the flesh with blood in it, you shall not eat it. You can't feed with it, can't eat it, on and on and on and on. So you can't eat blood of animals. You can't eat blood of humans. You can't eat blood of any living thing. Also, prior to the flood, the giants had been eating people, animals, and flesh. Now, here's something. You better listen to this, everybody. I'm giving this. I may believe if God puts it there, you better see where it is. It's an unfolding systematic discourse. You can't just jump from this scripture, jump over here two chapters later. You got to read line upon line, word upon word after word upon word. Okay? Also, prior to the flood, the giants were eating people, animals, and flesh while they were still alive. While they were still alive. This is incredibly cruel and inhumane. God is against this type of savagery, you might say. This is why God established rules of kosher, humane slaughter for those who eat meat. All this is in here about this context, him coming off the ark. Some foreign cultures that are influenced by demonic spirits practice eating animals while they're still alive. Today, practice eat. Can you imagine the pain, the suffering, the trauma, the soulish, the physical? Some foreign cultures that are influenced by demonic spirits practice eating animals while they're still alive. Annual meat festivals in China, where the people round up dogs, parade them around in cages for a week beforehand, then they skin them alive and boil them alive and eat them. Can you imagine the suffering and the pain of this and the trauma? China. Are you listening? China. Annual meat festivals in China where people round up dogs, parade them around in cages for a week beforehand, and then skin them and eat them alive. Some will serve live fish in restaurants, live octopus, live eels in restaurants. It is advertised that part of the eating experience of eating these live animals is the pleasure derived from feeling a live animal wiggle around in your mouth. Feeling a live animal wiggle around in your mouth. It's demonic, it's demonic, it's demonic. Any and all of this is sickly, demonic cruelty of hell.
Yes, sir.
Cruelty to animals, not to mention unsanitary and unhealthy. The seven Noahide laws were established. He's coming off that ark, remember?
Yes,
see what he's about to do? As a universal moral code for all humanity. The seven Noahide laws were established as a universal moral code for all humanity. What, number one, do not deny God. The Noahide laws. Do not deny God. Number two, do not blaspheme God. Number three, do not murder. Number four, do not engage in incestuous, adulterous, or homosexual relations. Back up again. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Do not deny God, first one. Do not blaspheme God. Secondly, do not murder. The third, fourth, do not engage in incestuous, adulterous, or homosexual relations.
Right.
Do not steal. Number five. Six, do not eat of a living animal, no cruelty. Do not eat a living animal and no cruelty toward animals. Seven, establish courts and legal system to ensure obedience of these laws. What? Do not deny God. Do not blaspheme God. Do not murder. Do not engage in incestuous, adulterous, or homosexual relations. Do not steal. Do not eat a living animal. No, and don't be cruel to animals. Establish courts and all laws that will enforce this and require your obedience to it. The seven Noahide laws would be considered bare minimum guidelines for man to live by. The seven Noahide laws would be considered bare minimum guidelines for man to live by.
Right.
Thankfully, in America, which has been a very Christian nation before, this bare minimum based guideline has been there in a lot of places. They provide us with laws for preventing cruelty to animals in America, provide us with laws preventing cruelty and unusual punishment even to criminals. Yeah. America has historically not been an inhumane society. Thank God for the reflection of godliness. Thank God for the reflection of godliness that has always been inseparable. Thank God for the reflection of godliness that has always been inseparable from American laws, moral thought, and ethical behavior. And they're trying to change it over and over and over. The prior administration made Easter Transgender Day. They are anti-God and against God and everything. And how can somebody like that? They can't go to heaven. You hear? You cannot go that way. Thank God for the foundation and overall liberty and justice for all in America. You hear that? So thank God for the reflection of godliness that has always been inseparable from American laws, moral thought, ethical behavior. Thank God for the foundation of all overall liberty, justice for all in America. It used to be like that, based on the Bible, on Judaism, and on Christianity. For sure, this includes the seven Noahide laws. Now, so God reestablishes justice and accountability. God reestablishes justice and accountability. Genesis 9:5, Father Noah coming off the ark, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. Surely your blood of your lives will I require. If the hand of every beast will I require it. If a beast kills you, I require it to the beast. At the hand of man, I require it. At the hand of every man's brother will I require it. The life of man, the soul of man that runs in the blood. You hear?
Yes, sir.
You shed blood, God requires it from you. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast I require it. At the hand of every man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require it. The life of man, the soul of man that runs in the blood. Your blood, that which when shed causes bloodshed, drops of blood. And so in this blood in your soul, you're either an innocent person, you're thirsty either for good or you're guilty. Those that thirst for evil are guilty. You have a guilty soul or an innocent soul. So I will require your life at the hand of everyone that takes your life, your lives, your soul, your mind, soul, emotions, on and on, the whole tablet of you. Will I require, will I tread and frequent? I'll be looking out for it, searching you down, running you down, requiring you. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. They actually have killed his soul in the earth. For in the image of God made he man. In the image, in the resemblance, the representative figure, the image or imagery of God, Elohim, has he made man. You see that? Now, God promised, after all this, a covenant with man and animals. God promised to establish a covenant with man and animals. God promised to never destroy the earth again by flood. He put a rainbow, and I've been preaching all this time to get here. God promised to establish a covenant with man and animals. God promised to never destroy the earth again by a flood. He put a rainbow as a token of his promise and covenant in the cloud. Genesis 9:7-8-9, and you, be ye fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply, Father Noah. You put man back upon the earth, multiply. And God spake unto Father Noah and to his sons with him, saying, his sons, not the wife, the sons, because they care the seed, they care the life. She's the incubator that they can form in for 9 months. But the real life comes out of the male. That's where it begins. And it begins in God the Father. God spake unto Father Noah to his sons with him, saying, and behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. Spoke unto Father Noah and to his sons. Behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your seed after you. I'll establish it. I'll take and make it to stand. I'll uphold it. I'll raise it up. I'll rear it up. I'll establish it. I'll pitch it and I'll set it up. My covenant. This league, this compact, this covenant, this confederacy, this league that I'll make this league with you. Most do not notice that God specifically lists that his covenant of peace is with all animals also. People do not notice that God specifically lists that his covenant of peace is also with animals, not just with Father Noah and the human population, but his covenant of peace is with animals too. Genesis 9:11-12, 10-12, and with every living creature that is with you, the fowl, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, every living thing, the humans and all the animals, fowls, earthly animals, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by waters of a flood. I'm not going to cut off men by flood again. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. I'm not going to destroy the earth with a flood. I won't destroy the earth again with a flood. I won't destroy man again with a flood. I won't destroy animals again with a flood. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you. This is the token, the signal, the prodigy, It's the evidence, it's the outstanding example of a particular quality. It's the disciplined focus that God says, I'm disciplined to make sure this happens to you, like an ensign. This is the token of the covenant, that confederacy, that covenant, that league that he makes, and he makes it, it's very clear, and it manifests that you will see it. I'm going to manifest a token that you can even see, the covenant. God said he would set his bow, said he had set his bow in the cloud. We understand that this is a reference to seeing a rainbow, a rainbow. God said, I'm going to set my bow. It's a bow. You pull back a bow. I'm going to set my bow in the cloud. It's a reference to seeing a rainbow. Genesis 9:13, I do set my bow in the cloud. It should be for a token of covenant between me and the earth. I do set, I put, I ordain, I appoint, and I apply my bow in the cloud. Ancient Jewish text and oral Torah. The ancient Jewish text and oral Torah tells us that God's bow was more than just a rainbow. It's a whole lot more than just a rainbow, what you see. God's bow is a whole lot more than just a rainbow, okay? I do set my bow. Ancient Jewish texts and oral Torah tell us that God's bow was more than just the rainbow. It was an actual divine weapon, a bow. A bow is a weapon. Are you here? An actual divine weapon. There are bows in the earth, human weapons, but God has a divine bow weapon himself. I'll set my bow like something that's bent, a bow for shooting. A bow like a man shot a bow. An arrow and an archer. You got to have the bow, you got to have the arrow, and you have to have the archer that aims it and shoots it. You have to have the bow that's bent. It's bent. Have to have an arrow to put in. Have to have an archer that pulls it back that shoots it. You got it? You got it? So it was the actual divine weapon, a bow. Before the flood, when mankind and the fallen angels were corrupting the whole earth of their wickedness, before the flood, when mankind and the fallen angels were corrupting the whole earth with their wickedness, it was said that God's bow was visible in the sky. We weren't back then, but it says that you could see a bow in the sky back then, pointing downwards, aiming toward mankind. Before the flood, history tells us that you could see a bow in the sky that was pointing down toward mankind. What's in a bow? An arrow. It's a weapon. So again, it is said that God's bow was visible in the sky, pointing downward, aimed toward mankind. It's also said that a divine arrow was laid in the bow, ready to be projected out of the bow. This is what they saw before the flood. They looked up and saw an arrow, a bow that was bent that way with an arrow pointing down toward them. And God is the archer up there about to pull it. Are you listening? And they were looking at that arrow pointing down all the time at them. But they still didn't change. Look at people today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Here we are today. You hear? How many understands that? Amen.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.